address of the book of Gospel, book of Matthew, chapter 5. Chapter 5, 43 to 48. We already done the pastor's preaching on this Sunday for the Beatitude. But we continuously we have the opportunity to share the Word of God and some more detail about the Beatitude. If you find it, I just read myself. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing there than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Let's find another verses. Gospel Luke, chapter 6, verse 27 to 36. Gospel Luke chapter 6 verse 27 to 36. Let me read for myself. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give it to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. This is the word of God. Amen. Before I select the verses, I usually pray the Lord what verses I'm preaching. So one day we don't think about the Reformed theology, one of those heroes of Abraham Kuyper, he mentioned about common grace. So it is a very famous message of the one of those Reformed doctrine. And so one of those verses comes out here. So let's go through how our Christian lives in Reform way, so we can take a look for some details. Let's go back to the verse, love your enemies. When I search the word hate, when you see that the verse 43, the word is hate, the word comes out. So I search it, the word hate. The psychology of the hate is always related to the Holocaust, because this one of those liberal activists, her name is Sally Kahn. She has a lot of famous quote or books called that The Opposite of Hate. So Field Guide to Repairing Our Humanity. So she considers that the culture of hate in this generation. So he remembered that when she was 10 years old, she was bullying her friend. Her name is Vicky. So she called her name, her friend name Vicky, called Sticky Vicky. So whenever she called her name, Sticky Vicky, she was a kind of person who had the handicap. And then she asking her, what's your favorite shampoo? So she said that a white rain shampoo. So when she heard that, her favorite shampoo name is rain, white rain shampoo. So when the class over, the people, so many classmates is around, she shouted, she called her, and she's saying that, my friend, Sticky Vicky, uses white rain shampoo. Don't use white rain shampoo. So she said, if you use it, you will smell like a Sticky Vicky. That phrase makes us so much embarrassed. So she remembered that the story about when she was 10 years old, she feel guilty. So she addressed that the people in the audience is that when time goes on after that, but maybe 10, 15 years later, she tried to find her friend. So actually she found her. So she called her and asking forgiveness. I did something wrong. Can you forgive me? But she denied that. She didn't forgive her. So this kind of, you know, cultural or kind of very humiliated environment, and she feel kind of a stigma in her life for life, and she's still suffering. So she's talking about the hate is in our culture, in our nature, but she tried to find out the solution. So I said that liberal activist, she tried to find out the solution how we can solve the hate in our culture. But she's not talking about the world about the sin, the human sin, because she's liberal. So she never talk about the problem of a sin. So she tried to solve the problem as a human nature, through the human nature. So true forgiveness comes after true repentance. So true repentance comes after acknowledging I am a sinner. So many people talks about hate, but hate comes from out of the corrupted nature. So if we hate our enemy, it is justified because culture, that's what it is. Because the enemy should be hated. This is a very popular, you know, as we know that this is just what it is. So this is our sinful nature agrees all the time. But look at the verses, what Jesus said. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. So Christ, our Lord, command his disciples to love their enemies. Love their enemies. Not even one. Not one, just two or three, more than two. This love is agape. We call it unconditional love. Not filial, not brother's love. At the time, maybe we think about that this is very revolutionary remark or wow, what God, Jesus said, love our enemies. Everybody may be surprised, but John MacArthur, in his commentary, he said that it is not. Everybody knows that. They already knew they supposed to love their enemies. Because the Proverbs 25:21, they said, the scripture said, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. So they already knew that they're supposed to love their enemies, but they don't practice it. So love your enemies. So this is the opposite meaning of any other religion. That's why they already knew, but they do not practice. So all Hollywood movies talks about revenge. As we, our children play gaming, Fortnite, everything is killing with gun. It's all about revenge. When we used to follow tradition, but Christ teaches that beyond our common sense, we all wonder how we can love our enemies. How we can love our enemies. This is our dilemma. So we found who are the enemies. So as we go to the chapter 5, as Beatitudes all the time talk about the persecution. The people who persecute us, that's our enemies. The people hate Christians. But there is a reason why we should love enemies. You may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. So Jesus said, if we love our enemies, we are the sons, we are the children of the Father who is in heaven. So, Christian loves the enemy. That's what the basic definition, Christian loves their enemies. There is clearly distinctive character of Christian. But now the next verse is Jesus Christ reasoned why we suppose loves the enemy. Look at the verse 45. So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Jesus shows why Christians should love the enemies, because God shows his love and mercy toward both of the evil and the good, and the both of unjust and the unjust. So sun shines equally. Rain falls equally to everyone. So nature does not discriminate based on the good people or bad people. But only sinner does. So John Calvin has a distinguished view of these verses as we first time we talk about the common grace. He calls for general grace from creation. God created all. So it doesn't divide who are good or who are bad. So creation comes from the God's creation. So all talent, the skills, or health, everyone has individual distinct over their lifestyle. Everything has come from creation. So these are freely given by God. The G.C. Burkholder, Reformed theologian, explained how John Calvin's total depravity of, as we know that the five theories, total depravity of human nature and common grace become reconciled. So he said this is one solution. The grace is at work even in fallen man to check their destruction which is inherent in sin. That means that everybody is fallen in human nature because the Adam's fall, and we are all sinners. But the grace is working in even in fallen man to check the destruction. So John Murray, the theologian, he called that this term is restraint. He called it restraint upon sin, restraint upon divine wrath, and restraint upon evil. So John Murray, he tried to explain these common grace is through explaining by sin, divine wrath, and evil. So God is restraining the sinner upon the sin and divine wrath and evil. So verses we're talking about for the example of the common grace is first example of the Cain, Adam's son. So I'm going to read the Genesis chapter 4, a little bit long, but as we talk about a little bit detail about the Genesis 4. Now Adam, real Adam, right? Adam knew Eve and Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you walk the ground, he shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and wander on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. What a great mercy shown by God to Cain. So God protect his common grace and Cain and not killed when he wandering on the ground. So even Abimelech is Genesis 26. So Abraham was traveled with his wife Sarah, and Abimelech king, he tried to think about get his wife because she is beautiful, but God came in his dream, Genesis 26. Then God said to him in his dream, Yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart. And it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. So that means God keep Abimelech from sinning. So he withhold, God withhold the sinner to sin because of the common grace. So profound doctrine of grace, of the common grace. So Abraham Kuyper, Dutch Calvinistic theologian, spent time on common grace to write three volumes of the books. In his preface, he said that he tried to this common grace to show reform theology to understand or impact on the world. Spiritual isolation and ecclesiastical isolation are equally anti-reform. So his purpose of the book of the common grace is to present that. So he talking about the Anabaptist, one of the sect of the such as Mennonite, had systematically isolated itself from the world. In opposition to this, reformed people had chosen as their guiding principle the apostolic notion that all things are yours and you are Christ. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 21. So he talking about that is the common grace is very important to the reform the church, because we should impact to the Christ. The everything is belong to Christ. So that's why the common grace is so much important. So he comments again, if the believer's God is at work in this world, then in this world the believer's hand must take hold of the plow, and the name of the Lord must be glorified in the activity as well. Therefore, everything came down to resuscitating the rich foundational idea embodied in the doctrine of common grace. So why are we talking about the common grace? Because we, like Lord said, love your enemies. So that means if we meet the people who are not saved or they didn't believe it, how we can share our love, share our knowledge to them. So that's what, as we go to the Calvinistic doctrine of the grace to in the historically, as we know that about a couple of years ago was 500 years after Reformation, they got the Calvinism series written by David W. Hall, his Presbyterian Church, the pastor. He wrote down a whole series of books about the legacy of Calvinism. It's tremendous. So I went through the, all the details, but it's too much that, so I just kind of summarized that. He talking about the economy point of John Adams. We know that the free market economy. He's a Scottish economist. He's a Calvinist background. The founding father's drawing of manuscript of the Constitution. It comes out that John Witherspoon is a Princeton Theological Seminary. It was kind of very foundational seminary when the Presbyterian Church was developed. And that John Calvin's the doctrine of the government, the limited government, and the basic human right, and responsibility, and coram deo, and education, and piety, all the idea comes from John Calvin's work. So his work, Institute of Christian Religion, and his commentaries, this all come from doctrine of common grace. So why is common grace important? Because God is sovereign. God's sovereignty is all over the world. God created all over the world. So God sovereign in the church, also God sovereign in the world. So doctrine of common grace, this is so important to understand how we and why we should, why we can love our enemies. So this is how, why we should know how to live in this world. So Charles Colson, he wrote the book about now, how shall we live in this world? So much difference between the denomination. We are the Reformed Church, the Presbyterian Church. We have a different approach to the world. So Pentecostal, so Manichaeanism, Anabaptist, Fundamentalist, Dispensationalist, they have the dualistic views, means. So they got dichotomy about dualism. The mind, the body is the separate. So the mind is good and the body is evil. So they focus on the problem of evil. So world is evil. So we should save them. So they think about the whole world is darkened. So we should save them. The mentality is they try to approach that the view. But how about the Roman Catholics, Episcopalian, Liberalism, World Church Council, and State and Church Unity, Social Justice, and Human Rights Movement, Social Welfare, Queer Movement. This is all about their pro-secularism. They love the world. They want to be like the world. They become like the world. So this church, this kind of denomination want to be world-like the approach. But another part of the approach is the transformation of culture. That's why we are very popular in evangelical area. It's compromising with other cultures. The Bonhoeffer, Karl Barth, Reinhold Niebuhr, Richard Niebuhr, John Stott. So evangelical, the church, they approach to the world, they kind of compromise with the culture. So they make their own Christian culture. They try to transform them. They're more radical. They bring their culture in there. They try to make their own, their Christian culture. But Reformed theology is very different. Reformed theology, we focus on the common grace. Common grace is based on God's sovereign. God's sovereign all the world and in the church. So we, as we reform doctrine, we just approach this one as a very important concept of Ten Commandments. It's not just the law, it's about the rule of life. So Herman Bavinck, in his essay, it's Common Grace, he said that common grace is not enough. Common grace is not enough. He tried to understand the common grace in the concept of his idea. He tried to that common grace to transport to saving grace. So if you understand common grace, important in our lives, we understand the love of our enemies. So how we can approach to our enemies with love? That is the saving grace. We gotta proclaim the gospel of Christ. So he's saying that Christian religion is no new cosmos, but rather makes the cosmos new. So I just, when I read this one, when I think about that, when I opened the dry cleaner business, I made lots of mistakes. They bring the new clothes and they say, try to get the stain out. I tried to put some chemicals, I ruined it. And then instead I gave them credit, I went to the shopping mall to buy a new one. And they exchange it. But it's not like that. It's a Christian religion is no new cosmos, but rather makes the cosmos new. So that means we don't create a new one. We make our world new by preaching the gospel. So think about it. Who is our enemies? Who is your enemies? If you remind one of the names of anyone, how we react toward them? This is a very challenging question. How we can approach to our enemies? Jesus said very clearly, love them and pray for them. So think about it. When you pray for your enemies, definitely we can think about the Christ. As we just sang the song, Christ died on the cross and he prayed to Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. This is a praying to God for his enemies all around. And he's saying that, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. So he forgave them, his enemies, because he loved them. And he prayed for them. So if we follow what Jesus did at the cross, the world, our enemies, see us as Christians, as the children of God. It is very hard work. It is much, much hard work. How we can love our enemies? Jesus commanded to love. That's why we observe in our scripture. Scripture exactly tells us love our enemies. And know the difference who you are. We are the different between from the world because we love our enemies. Is common grace comes from Father God, but saving grace is come from Christ alone, because we love our enemies. If you love our enemies, death comes through our force. Saving grace is goes through our lives. Saving grace is that's our fundamental basic foundation of faith. So Romans chapter 3:21, I'm gonna read. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So this is saving grace is comes through only Christ. By faith alone. So how we show the love of God or love of Christ toward our enemy? So Matthew Henry commentary, he had three different steps. We should have compassion for them and have a good will toward them. First, we must speak well of them. Bless them that curse you. We must answer their revilings with courteous and friendly words. Beware our speech. And last week we have the learn from the Pastor Stephen Lively in the Bible study about the proverb. And the First Peter 3:9, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and to good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those good evil. Second thing, what we must do well to them. Do good to them that hate you. Third, we must pray for them, but we need to pray for them. So, a prayer is very critical point to love our enemies. So praise to Christ that His wisdom and the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Praise God. Thank you for your word. Lord, fill me your love in our heart to love our enemies. We want to bless them and pray for them, Lord. Please give us loving lips and kindness toward our enemies. Lord, I bless this church for your glory. Even if we are tempted to hate our enemies, please change our heart with your word and the spirit to love them, pray for them. I ask in your name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.